groups and trying to assess their strengths, their weaknesses, what they might do next, what they've done historically. And then these reports that they generate based on this information that they're collecting are eventually, if you like, sort of moved up through the chain and eventually would go on to be potentially included in briefings for President Obama or senior military officials. But it all sort of generates with these kind of analysts who are looking at this very close up. You can almost kind of think of them as like reporters, and the people who sit above them would sort of be like their editors, so to equate it to the environment I work in every day. And what they're saying is that they are seeing some of their reports, key pieces of them that they think are very important, taken out, not giving the proper context, in some cases making it look like ISIS and Al-Qaeda are weaker than these analysts actually believe they are. Mm-hmm. And what they decided to do is raise these issues internally with their bosses, and our understanding is that they did not get a satisfactory response, and at that point decided to effectively blow the whistle and go to the Defense Department's Inspector General, their watchdog arm, and say, look, this is inappropriate, our reports are being doctored, this is interference, and this is not how intelligence analysis is supposed to work. So you've got people who essentially are standing by their own work and saying that what's coming out the other end looks different from how it did in the beginning.
That sounds horrifyingly familiar, frankly, for those of us who cover the Bush administration for all of these years. But these analysts, are they and I appreciate you can't give away, you know, that much about the sources and so forth, but are these independent contractors, or are these actually folks who are working for the I guess not the CIA here, but the DIA, the Defense Intelligence
right.
Agency?
Well, we know that these are professional career analysts. Mm-hmm. Some of them do work for the Defense Intelligence Agency and are working at Central Command, but are technically under the Defense Intelligence Agency. That's sort of their home agency.
Mm-hmm.
But what they have in common is that what they do every day is study Iraq and Syria, and they study ISIS, and they study Al-Qaeda. So they're like subject matter experts in these topics. We know that some of them have been doing this for many, many years, even going back to the beginning of the war in Iraq. And so they have a level of experience and insights that is informed by studying this problem over many years. And, the folks that we were in touch with, it was clear to us that these were not amateurs. These are not people who are sort of dilettantes. These are really, you know, people who spend their days studying these problems very close up. And we should emphasize, too, in the intelligence business, people often arrive at different conclusions looking at the same set of facts.
Sure.
And what's supposed to happen is that all of those differing points of view are supposed to be taken into account. And generally what the intelligence agencies are supposed to do is avoid kind of a groupthink or a mashing together or trying to achieve consensus. These things are very frowned upon, specifically because they're what happened in 2002 with the run-up to the Iraq War, and of course produced a really disastrous and flawed assessment of Iraq's supposed weapons programs that did not take into account sufficiently the dissenting views of analysts who said, hey, wait a second, we don't think Iraq has the weapons program that some people think it does. So in that context, this is what these analysts are sort of throwing up the red flag on, saying this is not how we're supposed to do it. Just because our view doesn't necessarily comport with a different agency's or what the political narrative seems to be is not a reason to discount it or to try and alter it.
Shane Harris, congratulations on this report. It's quite explosive, and I look forward to seeing more on this story as we move forward. Shane Harris, national security correspondent for The Daily Beast. His story over at thedailybeast.com with Nancy Youssef. Exclusive. 50 spies say ISIS intelligence was cooked. Thank you, Shane. Hope to talk to you again about this story as it moves forward.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Today, Brad Friedman of the Brad Blog spoke with the Daily Beast's national security correspondent, Shane Harris, to discuss his disturbing new exclusive report. The report found that 50 U.S. intelligence analysts now allegedly claim that top U.S. officials are cooking the intelligence on the so-called Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, known by its Arabic acronym, Daesh. Here's Brad Friedman with more.
It's been nearly a year and a half since we last checked in with you, but the mission has been mentioned much more frequently than that. What's the current status of the spacecraft?
Right now, we have a nearly complete spacecraft. We just have a few components that are showing up in the very near future. And we're about 1 month away from beginning spacecraft-level environmental tests.
Wow. But there have been tests going on of individual components, right? I saw some great images of this in your blog.
Yeah. I mean, the components go through their own set of environmental qualifications. You know, we do what we call the shake-and-bake test and do the electromagnetic interference test and acoustic tests. But that all has to get repeated when the spacecraft comes together as a single flight system.
And that is what's happening now. It's tested individually, and then you put it all together, and you run it through all these things again?
That's right. And we have a complete spacecraft. I've been down onto the high bay floor at Lockheed Martin and gotten up close and personal to inspect it.
What are the milestones that are left as we build toward the opening of that launch window on September 3rd of next year?
Yeah, so we've got our big environmental tests. So we go through the thermal vacuum chamber. We'll do a spin balance test, an electromagnetic interference test, an acoustics test. We'll do all of our deployments, make sure the solar arrays deploy, make sure...
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is all volunteer-based. Our producer is Jim Thompson. You can find more national and international stories at the website fsrn.org. Our engineer is Sequoia Wright. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Nicole Weinstock.
And I'm Jared Dantzler. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Morning Talk Radio, host Paul Rowland interviews community rights activist Thomas Lindsay about a new primer on the community rights movement in the face of global catastrophe. At 9 on Political Perspectives, host Lisa Loving speaks with educator and writer Mike Rose about his latest book, Back to School: Why Everyone Deserves a Second Chance at Education. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, it's The Food Show with Chris Siegel. Stay tuned at 6 p.m. after this newscast for QTPOC Talk, hosted by Justin McDaniels. Justin McDaniels NORAD. That's at 6 p.m. And now we turn again to Ken and Ani for how you can support our community radio. We'll be right back.
And you are listening to the KBOO Evening News. You are listening to KBOO, your community radio station. This is Ani, and I'm here to say this is your time to call. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Why is it your turn to call? Because the volunteers have been creating this amazing radio for you. They have written the news stories. They have done the interviews. They have produced it all. And you are consuming it. It is pouring into your mind. It is edifying you right now. And now we're asking for a little reciprocal action so that you can, in fact, step forward and support that which supports you. That's what community radio is about. Please do step forward right now. Say, I want to be a hero to community radio. I want to be KBOO's hero of the hour. I can call right now with a $20 a month contribution. I want the KBOO hoodie. And it's a beautiful black hoodie. It's got the KBOO logo on the left front side. It's gorgeous. It's warm because, you know, the weather's changing right about now. And you can get that for $20 a month. And with your contribution of $20 a month, you'll put us over the goal for this news hour. And that would be super fantastic. Please do give us a call at 877-500-5266 or online, kboo.fm. Hey, Ken.
Oh, hi, Ani. I just wanted to tell the listeners a little bit about some of the stories that we covered on our volunteer-produced newscast. Again, stories that you'll hear, if you hear about them at all, you'll hear them in a very different way on other news media outlets in Portland. We were the first on the scene, and in fact, the only reporters on kayaks reporting from the Shell No kayak blockade in North Portland. That was
just
last month.
And that was so inspirational. Wasn't that inspirational? That was awesome.
Oh, incredible. And then Columbia Generating Station in Washington has a crack in the jet pump in the reactor core. Apparently, no other media other than KBOO has reported on this issue to date, and you'd figure it would be pretty important to know. Reports of radiation levels in Oregon with no nukes northwest. We did a series of live reports from the Megalod protests in rural Oregon, mm-hmm. led by members of the Confederated Tribes mm-hmm. of the Umatilla. We do weekly updates from Portland City Council meetings to keep you informed on what's going on in Portland. Regular updates on the Right to Dream 2 houseless rest area. We report on the struggle to maintain Portland's open reservoirs, continuous reporting on the use of force guidelines for the Portland police, and we report quite a bit on ALEC, which is this kind of somewhat secret organization that has been sponsoring a lot of state legislation, such as the Monsanto Protection Act, particularly in Oregon, and we've been exposing them as much as we
can.
Yeah,
you know, they're sort of the lobbying organization for all things vile. And,
exactly.
You know, and but they, how do they operate? They operate undercover, right? They operate behind the scenes because they know that mainstream news is not going to cover their nefarious activities. They know because, how do they know that? Because they serve the same corporate interests that own the news broadcasts. We are here, independent media. We can give you the news without that filtering. We give you the news because community members like you step forward and say it's important to have independent information. It's important to have independent resources for news, for public affairs, for opinions, for commentary, for interviews. It's important to have this without the corporate fetters on it. And where can you get that, my friend? You get it here on KBOO, your community radio station. It is your station when you call 877-500-5266. And you step forward and you say, I want to be one of the supporters of KBOO. I want to be one of the sponsors, one of the many owners of KBOO. We want a broad grassroots support because that's what keeps us independent. We do not want one or two very wealthy contributors to sort of think that they have the rights to tell us what to say and how to say it. That's how we spread it out amongst the grassroots so that we all have a voice and we all have a part to play in community radio. I want to thank Frances for her contribution right now. Thank you so much, Frances, for keeping things going here on KBOO. 877-500-5266. That's what Frances did. She called that number, and now you can too. 877-500-5266. 6666. You can also contribute online at kboo.fm, or you can come down to 20 Southeast 8th. That's right between Burnside and Ankeny on beautiful scenic Southeast 8th Avenue in Central Portland. However you choose to do it now, my friend. This is your moment. We just have a couple days left of our fall membership drive, and we do need to hear from you. You know, we have a wonderful time here with each other, and that's important because sometimes the news is horrifying, and it's important that we support each other as we bring you this truth, and we need you to support us as we do this work as well. Please do contribute financially. 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. Your contribution of $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, what you can afford, what you can budget into that monthly entertainment budget or news consumer budget, you know, please go ahead, budget that, and let us know what that is. 877-500-5266.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Mercy Killers, a play presented by Healthcare for All Oregon on Thursday, September 17th at the Alberta Rose Theater. Mercy Killers addresses the measures the main character must take to care for his sick wife. The play is being performed as a benefit for Healthcare for All Oregon, who work for an affordable, comprehensive, publicly funded, high-quality, universal healthcare system serving everyone in Oregon. Again,